Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Petter and welcome to the first episode of Behind Massive Screens, a new podcast here from Massive Entertainment in Malmö, Sweden. Over the last few years, we've done an interview series called The Fika Sessions, which is now evolving from being mainly video into a pure podcast. The idea remains the same. Throughout the show, you will get to know our developers and get insights into how the games industry and game development work from a myriad of different angles. You will find a new episode once a month. We hope you join us on this brand new adventure and enjoy the show. Hello everyone, welcome to Behind Massive Screens, formerly known as the Fika Sessions. And we're here today with David, lead data scientist here at Massive Entertainment. Welcome, David.
Hi, Peter, and thank you for welcoming me here. Thank you very much.
Always. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I brought a lot of nice stuff to eat, and I can't wait that we go through all of this. So just to describe it, if you guys don't see it, we have croissant and we have a couple of these little sugared sweet tarts.
There's a lot of them. Can you just really quickly... Because even if this is mainly audio these days, we still have fika here. I still want fika. So what are these? They are like, some of them are, a croissant, people know what it looks like generally, but these tarts are like small, round.
Yes.
Looks like they're covered in sugar.
Yes, yes. And some fruits, but it's just for decoration. You know, we don't really care about fruit. But you have some orange, you have apple, you have plum, I guess. And then, of course, in addition to the croissant, you have, we call it pain au chocolat, but some people in France would call it chocolatine. So there's a big fight between those two regions for the same object. Just for you to know, it's good. So I call it pain au chocolat. And now, war is over.
We have upset listeners who's just turning on the podcast. But to get started, lead data scientist, just to really quickly describe, what does a lead data scientist do in the AAA industry? Wait, the sound on my computer is still on, or are one of our producers laptops? Never mind. Never mind. Lead data scientist.
Yeah.
What is it you do?
Lead data scientist. So I'm leading a team of data scientists, simply said, and I'm really happy here to have opportunity to talk about the job of data scientists. So what is data science in general? What is a data scientist and what do we do every day? What do we do for games and what do we do at Massive at Ubisoft? So I'm going to go through all of this order. Yeah, just name it.
I'm really looking forward to learning more about this in general. So I guess we're going to start out with, what is data science?
It's a very good question. Beyond the hype and, you know, the buzzword, it's a real discipline. And as many disciplines, it has not just appeared from the void, from nothing, from nowhere. We have been doing computer science. We have been processing data, you know, for already quite a long time. And we have been also doing statistics for even longer time. Okay, statistics, you can go back to 13th century and in the world, and 17th century in Europe. But when something happened in the 2000 years, when there was a conjunction of several events, we were finally being able to process bigger volume of data with stronger CPUs, more processing power. And so these different disciplines starting to meet and enrich each other's with our practice, and new discipline then appeared with its own ways of doing a lot of things that were done previously in different ways. For example, you could consider that data science is mathematics meeting engineering, can be statistics, advanced statistics meeting big data processing, and all of this together give this discipline. There is also a third element that is super important in this discipline. This is business knowledge. So when you have advanced mathematics, you have engineering, and you have the business knowledge, then here at this meeting point, you have data science.
Right. Can I ask a really, like, might be a bit of a vague question? How would you define data?
Oh, data.
You can't see David's face, but he's smiling. Like, yes.
All right. I can take this piece of paper that nobody sees because this is just audio. But on this piece of paper, I can draw, you know, lines. And in each of these boxes, I can put a number or a word or something else. If I could put a video or a sound, maybe I would be super happy to do it. But just paper. And this would be already data. Right. And the fact that we use computers instead of just paper is because it's much more convenient. We can do much more things more automatically than papers. But if you think about it, at the beginning of computer science, we had just, you know, punched holes in this piece of paper. And that was data. That was information.
Right. So we're going to jump back to how all of this actually comes together, that data and science comes together in the AAA industry. But first of all, I want to ask a little bit about your background, how you came to Massive Entertainment.
Oh, that's, yeah, a long story, but I'll make it like short. My background is computer science engineering. I graduated as an engineer, and then I decided that I would like to do research. So I went into PhD studies, and when I got my PhD in machine learning, I wanted to go in industry to see, you know, the different aspects. So academia is something, industry is something, and in industry, so it was not the gaming industry, it was the information technology for travel, for airlines mostly. And in this industry, a big company, I was able to go through different positions from functional analysis to management, even intellectual property, and of course data science, which is still my major. So I decided I was really having fun, and I had super nice colleagues and work environment in France. But at some point, I decided that I wanted something more, and I wanted to go in the games industry because games had always been part of my life. And I said, okay, why not just join the two passions in my life into one? And I started looking for an opportunity, and I just found... I immediately thought about Ubisoft because as a kid, I played at Ubisoft games. And I know that Ubisoft is initially French. Of course, now it's much, much bigger. It's worldwide. And I discovered also... I knew Massive before because I had played The Division. And so very naturally, I came onto Massive. And then on the website of Massive, I saw several things that also raised my attention and put it number one on my wish list. The first thing was this interview that actually was done with your team of Alessandro Canosa talking about user research and data science, already doing super, super cool stuff. And also so. The values of Massive, had resonance with mine. Say, okay, if it's really, if it's as it is described in this page on this website, then it must be the most fantastic place to work in the world. So it was a no-brainer, and I had the luck to be taken on board, and I'm still here.
What was it? First of all, that article you were talking about by Alessandro is, of course, still available.
Yes.
On massive.se/blog. Go in there, take a look at it. What was it? And first of all, Alessandro is a brilliant mind.
He is.
He's amazing. But what was it with that particular text and that particular interview that made you go, wow, this is it?
Because it's exactly matching what I think we should be doing with data in games, how data science can help making better games, which is what we do here, which is the mandate of our team and what we really aim at doing even better and being more ambitious also about what data science can do for games. So when I read this, it was a match with what I was anyway following on my spare time. I was interested in this already, so it was a natural resonance with, yes, this is the way we should do it in AAA studios, and this is what I want to do.
Yep. I think just to linger on Alessandro for 2 seconds, he really showed me as well, because I used to work like opposite him, basically. Oh, no, he was sitting behind me. And there was one point we were working in community at the time, and we were looking at stats and numbers and stuff coming from like sentiments. What do people think and about the game? And then I remember at one point it was like, come over here and take a look at this. And then he showed me a map of data points he'd done of players in game. I'm going to talk about exactly what the details were, but that was the moment that I personally understood via him what could actually be done. Mostly because it was a completely different perspective. It was not more valid, but it was magic to see data used in that way.
Yes.
For someone that sucks at that kind of stuff. It was incredible.
It's magic when you get into it and you understand what it does and what it brings to you.
Yep.
What I liked in this article, this one from Alessandro, and was talking about how we could derive the player motivations from their gameplay data. It's absolutely incredible. If you read the original paper and you see how it was done and what it allows to do, it's absolutely incredible. And we are doing even cooler stuff right now.
Yeah. So how to kind of go back to your job and the AAA industry, like how is... Are we going to start with, I guess, how is data derived? Where do you get the data from?
Okay, so what's happening is when you play a game, and most games are online right now, there is a flow of data that is reaching our servers, and we have a lot of information about what you're doing in the game, basically. So first of all, do you have the game? Have you just started it? Or which game mode you're playing? Are you, if it's a game with combat, are you dying? Are you winning? And a couple of context elements about this. So it's really there's a lot of data being gathered, which is super cool, and which is even more cool that it's done very carefully. It's GDPR compliant, so we don't have any access to any personal information. So we don't know who you are, but we know how you play.
Yep.
And this is very, very it's incredible information mine. It's gold nuggets. For example, because there is a question also like, why should we do it? Why should we try to do advanced data processing with all this this matter? And here I have a little anecdote here. There was somewhere in the Pacific Islands a little shell, okay, that actually research recently found that it was producing a toxin, a very specific toxin. It was discovered as super powerful for medicine, okay. And at the time, the inhabitants of these islands were liking these specific shells, and they were using them to make, you know, shell necklace. And if you think about it, I have the feeling it's just that they didn't know that there were these wells of in these shells. But if you think about it, we are doing a lot of shell necklaces from the data we have. We could maybe extract a little more of this super high value toxin and make medicine or make something really, really bigger out of it.
Yep. So we have now extracted the data.
Yeah. Then it comes in this huge database.
Yeah.
And then we can start, you know, having fun playing with it and doing a lot of things with it. What we do immediately with it is, of course, compute some analytics, some KPIs. Like we want to know how many players we have. We want to know if they are active. We want to understand if they are still here, if they are leaving. If they are leaving, maybe why? What can we do to improve this and all of these type of things? It's also used to build all the reports that the production team, the management wants to take decisions. This part of the job is done in collaboration with analytics team. And in the data science realm here, we are building advanced data processing to apply more advanced solution when it's needed. For example, we can count the players. We can count players that are doing this and this and that. We can have all of these pie charts and nice reports. But if a production game designer comes and say, hey, I want to know what are my players doing with the gear and items we have released in the latest title update. What are the builds they are using, you know, theory crafting their builds in game. Then it's something that comes on our side, in our team, and we deploy all the magic of data science to answer this question and help the production to take decision. So maybe that's something about decision data being data driven versus being data informed. We can talk about this after if you want. I just launching this here.
But speaking of that topic, you actually released a paper on a similar thing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
About the player builds. This is the paper.
Again, a big smile.
Yes.
On David's lips here.
I'm super happy of this work in particular, but there are many others we have also in the team. I'm very happy of this one because it's one of these examples when data science actually provides an answer to a real world question, and it's helping really. I'm saying that modestly because it's a contribution, but it's just helping a game being better. And it's this is why we are here. I mean, we want to make the best games in the world, and every little step we can do in that direction, we have to take it if we can.
Yeah.
So we're super happy to help with that kind of project. There are other ones I can also further elaborate. You mentioned ComDev.
Mm-hmm.
We have also contributed to helping ComDevs to know what's happening on the social media side about the games they are following.
Yeah. Just to clarify for the people, ComDev stands for community development.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, for example, ComDev would like to know, what's happening with my game right now? I have a feeling from what I read that there is maybe a positive vibe ongoing or maybe a negative trend. But is it real? Is it something strong? Is it something we should act upon? Then going from a feeling to quantitative-based insight, like, okay, this is going very well and this is the reason, or this happened, there was maybe a bug, something, people are really unhappy about this bug and this is the main trending topic right now, so let's take it as something priority, and kind of things that we are also super happy to help.
So what, going into the more practical side, I think we're getting a general idea of what you do and kind of the results. Or wait, I want to talk about one more thing.
Yeah.
Let's just jump around a little bit. Because one of your colleagues, Richard, held a presentation the other day here at Massive. And he talked about data and what you guys do. And then it was kind of also about what you as a company, how you handle the data or how you deal with it. Like not the saving of where the data goes on a computer, but how you deal with it to make decisions about a product, or in in-game development, like where are we going? And he talked about various levels that various companies do, like they don't care about the data, or they, I think, cherry pick the data that they want. But then there are the two other ones. And one was data driven, which is just like data is king, data makes all the decisions.
Yes.
But then there was the middle one that he talked about adopting was data informed.
Yes.
Can you explain what data informed means in AAA gaming context?
It's okay, if you want to go data driven, it's not bad per se. It's a way to drive your decision purely based on data, and it's very valid. For example, if you're in the free to play ecosystem, if you're doing maybe mobile, then you need to take decisions based on relying much more on the data and what's happening for your game, because this is a survival question. In other business models, and especially for AAA, data-driven is something that is, we believe, not the best solution, because having data, having figures is good, but it's not enough to take the best possible decisions. We have at Ubisoft and at Massive, I believe, a very strong DNA around creation, creativity. And we have, we want that the data helps creativity, but does not take over it. And in this, it's not easy to find the right level here, but this balance is crucial. And this is this balance, this sweet spot that we aim at being, that we call data informed, meaning that we want the best data and results to help you taking the decisions, but at the end, you take the decision also, because there is something else than data in your head. There is, and we want that also to have the full power,
right?
You know, so we believe that's really that the best place to be. For us,
it's good to kind of know the philosophy where all this is going. But the end result that the player in the end sees is still based on those kinds of decisions you're talking about, which is
an example of data informed. Is if we go back to this player builds that we did, it's not the results of this work is not taken as. This is what you have to do. This is it doesn't have any such power, but it's gonna give game designers the lead that and the ideas of what they could do next for the next title update. And to be honest, as a data scientist, we are all aspiring to this day, you know, when someone comes to you and say, you know, I just took what you did, and I applied it. I used this data to use my creativity and do something better. And I'm super happy with what I've done, and the players, because after that we check if it's working or not. And the players bought it too.
Yeah.
So it means it was the right choice.
Right.
And this choice was taken by humans, informed by the right data.
Yeah. So how? Like, are we just going to get practical for a second?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, really, we've talked about it on higher levels and what it is and what it does and how to use it and how to approach it. But how, when you sit down in front of the computer, what are the tools, the data scientists here at Massive, what did you use?
So we use, for the pure data science tasks, let's say, even if it's not the best programming language in the world, and we know it, let's face it, Python is king. And so we use mainly Python as a programming language, SQL being his best friend. R is still there, but it's really answering specific needs, so we don't use it so much. Scala is also a very powerful language. And it's a good quiver to add to a good arrow to add to your quiver if you want it. And in terms of tech, you know, we use a lot of Spark related tech for big data processing, although we also rely on cloud-based solutions like Amazon Web Services, but not only. There are other players here we are also using. So we have a lot of different tools and technologies at our hand. We have also the chance to have a lot of support from teams inside Ubisoft that develop specific tools for us. So we don't own the whole chain of data processing. It's there is a common basis for all Ubisoft. So yeah, we have lots of possibilities, lots of tools. And should we want to use another one, then if it has to be used, if it makes the job, if it answers a specific need, a data science need, then we use it.
We're going to get into kind of, I want to know now we've talked about the tools, like how to get into this, because I'm sure there's people listening at home now that are interested in data, maybe not understand or never thought really about applying it to games in this way. But I want to, before we get into kind of tips and tricks with those people, I really want to just go back to the notes we did a pre-interview a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And one thing I loved about this, and that was kind of connected to people that are interested in working with data or becoming data scientists or analysts, is that you as a kid, and I just love this, you put things into files.
Yeah.
I think it goes into also one other thing you told me, which I also love. Oh, I'm messing stuff up in the studio right now. was data is magic. So what happened? What was it as a kid that made you feel like you started organizing things?
Yeah. I don't have any explanation for this. It just felt natural.
How did you do it? What was it?
I had one of these paper, a lot of paper and pens, and I was just writing a lot of information about a lot of data, about what a lot of things I could just gather. It was mainly about games, of course, but not only. And I had the intuition, I don't know how to put words on it, but I knew that data was kind of all around us, and we would be able to get more and more of what capture the world around us into numbers and do something out of these numbers and then get back in the world with this. And yeah, it started very, very, very early. And it was very natural for me to go, in all this this curriculum, all of these studies. I loved also just pure mathematics for the beauty of it, because when you go into the space of, for example, proving a theorem, and you can look at a theorem proof and appreciate its inherent beauty, in the reasoning, and you can compare two proofs and say, oh, I prefer this one, it's more elegant. It's something, it's really something. And having the two together, so the data and the mathematics, and it's just magic. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love hearing you talk about that, because as someone that have tried but can't really understand math very well, and hearing people like you talk about the magic behind these things, data, math, how that goes together, it's just fascinating.
And behind the magic, there's also a lot of sweat and work.
Of course.
meaning that to make these things work,
yeah.
You have to love the data,
yeah.
Meaning that when you have this, it's kind of abstract, when you're manipulating these gigabytes or terabytes of data, it can sound pretty far from us. But actually, what I prefer in this job, that it's always possible to zoom in,
yeah,
and have a look at just a couple of real data points, and then I can. You can see through them, say, okay, there is maybe something here. There is a pattern. There is something. And then you zoom out and you go back with your macro tools, able to manipulate and juggle with these, again, terabytes of data and extract, extract the the very, we're back to the gold nuggets or to the toxin out of the shell.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating. So if I'm at home, you have a couple of resources here, but before we get into those, if I'm sitting at home and really just finding this incredibly fascinating, maybe even on my way to a career in that kind of research or similar research, what tips would you have for me? Like more practical things?
More practical thing. I would start with going through some online resources, online courses. There are a bunch of very good ones out there. I could not recommend enough the fantastic machine learning from Stanford Coursera's Andrew Ng MOOC. It's a super nice place to start with. And then you can have also, if you want to go deep into the math and the stats, you have Introduction to Statistical Learning at Springer. That is a super good book, very accessible when you have the background in math. If you want to play with some examples, you have a lot of free data sets online. You have even a platform where you can compete on data science. You have, so this is Kaggle. It's also good because I would start with simple ones, because Kaggle can become super competitive and high-ended quickly. But there are some tutorial examples there that you can start playing with. There's a super classical one where you get the data set from the Titanic, and then you have to predict the chances of survival. And I know it sounds crazy like this. It's just an exercise, right? but you can end up pretty much with a pretty good accuracy of predicting,
That's super this, fascinating.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just an example. But overall, this, once you have gone through the basics, and also there is also, I have here a reference about the first programming in Python. I think it's something like, Data Science from Scratch, this one, First Principle with Python at O'Reilly's. So this is also a good introduction book to get started with concrete data science.
Yep.
But when you have done all of that, nothing will replace the making projects yourself, taking a real data set and playing with it and trying to do something concrete out of it, because then you will hit walls. Then you will start wondering, you will start asking yourself the right question. For example, you know that the data can be standardized, normalized. You can do a lot of operations on the lines, on the columns. You know it, it's theory. But then you have a data set and you have to do something out of it. And then you start really asking, should I do it now in this case, and how, and how does it work? And this is when you're hitting, for example, this kind of walls, then you start making your own experience and you start building up your say tool set and your mindset, and you start doing the job, the real one. You have a saying for data scientists that data science is 80% data manipulation and 20% complaining about it.
Do you think, we asked a similar question on a completely different topic though, but I still want to ask it. Is this the kind of approach in the analytical thinking? Is that something you can learn from scratch?
Yes.
Like, it's not something that's inherent in the approach.
No. You can learn it. If you're interested in something, I think that the interest-driven learning is the most powerful power of the mind. And of course, you need this mathematics basics. Of course, you need this engineering and programming, computer science basics. It's not something you can learn in a minute. But yes, it's definitely possible to learn out of it. And, you have a lot of examples out there of people who just learned from scratch, and it was not even their major and their studies. they're pretty, you know, fantastic at it. So yeah, if you like it, if you want it, just go out and do it. It's going to work.
I like that. I like that as an ending. Go out and do it.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fika now.
Oh, yes.
Because they are, again, on, you can't see them on audio, but they look really good.
Yes.
We're not stopping the fika part, are we? Please. My producers. Ella is just, she doesn't know. But thank you so much for coming, David. It has been so enlightening to hear about your work.
Thank you very much for inviting me. And
yeah, let's have some fika.
Let's have this fika.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.